Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Do you often find yourself shying away from new experiences or opportunities because you lack confidence? Have you had that feeling of your heart racing, your palms sweating, just thinking about the new challenge that faced you, such as speaking English?
Well, we're here today to help you in those moments of self-doubt. Success will not necessarily make you confident, but confidence in yourself and your abilities is what's going to make you successful.
So we'll be sharing 6 tips to boost your confidence, mental hacks you can use to be more confident in yourself. And we'll also have a bonus tip for you over on Instagram at reallife.english. So make sure you check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
confident boosting
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, getting your teeth cleaned at the dentist, or even
drinking your Starbucks coffee that you just ordered in English.
I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going well, thank you. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's so funny that you mentioned Starbucks because I have my parents visiting and my mom is a big fan of Starbucks. So I've been going there a couple times already and it had been ages.
Oh, nice. Have you had the pumpkin spice latte yet?
I have not. I used to love those when I was younger, but now they're just too sweet for me.
Yeah. I do kind of like the holiday drink. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while I'll go. That's actually something I was thinking of doing this weekend. So you've just reminded me.
To add to your to-do list, get a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, while I'm out shopping.
Is that something that reminds you of the holidays in the UK as well?
Yeah, I guess it does now because these types of drinks became so popular and we would have them in the UK as well. So although maybe they probably originated from the US, especially like, you know, the Halloween style and the pumpkins, they are things that are celebrated in the UK now too.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, because we do a lot of different treats, pumpkin pies and all these sorts of things around the fall, I guess, because it's what we harvest and stuff. So I relate that a lot to like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then obviously you have it being adapted to a lot of different things like the pumpkin spice lattes and maybe pumpkin cookies you could find in different places and all sorts of different things. I think one of the most interesting ones I saw last time I was in the USA during this time of year was pumpkin spice pancakes.
Oh, wow. That sounds really interesting. I've never tried them. We have to find them.
They're really delicious. Yeah. Maybe some American nice. Diner here in Barcelona will have to go and do a special version of the podcast or a post on Instagram or something.
Yeah. Or we can find a recipe and try it ourselves. Let's see.
Exactly. So I'm sure we're going to have some holiday themed podcast coming up for you guys very soon because we're already rolling into October. We have Halloween coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas right around the corner. But before we get into any of that and today's topic all about confidence, we have a shout out to a very special app user and podcast listener.
We would love your help in getting involved with the podcast and actually choosing one of our future podcast episodes. So to get involved, all you have to do is visit our YouTube channel, Real Life English, and there you'll find a poll where you can cast your vote. So today's shout out comes from Dee, and they say, "Thank you for your job. I want to thank you guys for what you are doing. I love this podcast. It's really helpful and educational. And at the same time, I have fun while I'm listening to it. You guys always make me smile. You provide so many benefits for free. This is a rare thing nowadays. I'm into learning English and I've seen so many resources where you have to pay for the transcript or communication with people to practice the language. You give it for free. Thanks a lot for that.
Thanks to you so much for that fantastic review. And we're so glad that you're enjoying the podcast and the app. And if you want us to shout you out, then you can download the app absolutely for free, just as Dee mentioned. And the really great thing about this is not only that you get full transcripts and vocabulary for every episode of the podcast, but you can also practice everything you're learning by speaking English at the touch of a button with people from around the world, from many different countries. You'll discover other cultures, and you can use it anytime, anywhere. And if you enjoy both the app and the podcast, then leave us a 5-star review in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and we might just shout you out here on the podcast. So to download that, just click the link in the description of this episode, or simply look for Real Life English in the Apple App or Google Play Store, and we look forward to seeing you there. Now, before we get into the relevant topic about confidence, which obviously can help you in having a conversation in English on our app, we have a joke to help you laugh a little bit. So, Andrea, do you want to do the honors?
Okay, sure. They say you are what you eat. That's funny. I don't remember eating a sexy beast this morning.
Well, hopefully people understood that. And if you did not, we'll explain it. So what does that mean? They say you are what you eat.
Yeah, this is kind of a phrase that went around a lot, I think, in talking about healthy eating and things like that. So by saying you are what you eat, like, you know, if you're not eating really healthy food, you're eating a lot of fat or greasy fried kind of food, then you're not going to feel good. And it's kind of going to make you feel bad, and it's just not very healthy. But then obviously, if, you know, you're eating lots of vegetables and you're eating lots of things that are good for you, you're going to feel good. And this phrase also kind of came about like with you are what you eat. Like, so if you eat, I don't know, pork, you're like a pig. It's weird, isn't it?
It is. But it's an expression you can hear a lot. Maybe if someone sees you eating some junk food, then they might say, you know, you are what you eat. You should really eat healthier, because then you'll feel energetic and it'll help you to be more successful. But this is kind of a play on words here, because it's saying, okay, you are what you eat. It's not taken literally. It's taken figuratively. It's because it affects how you feel. But this makes a joke by actually using it literally. So what does that mean? If someone's a sexy beast, what does that mean?
So this is just kind of used, you know, when you're feeling really good and confident in yourself, you might say like you feel like a sexy beast, or you might describe someone as a sexy beast if they're like, you know, like, I don't know why Aquaman just came into my head. I think because we just did a lesson with that movie recently. And, you know, you might describe this actor as a sexy beast because he's very buff. You know, he's got a good body. He looks like he looks after himself and he looks really strong.
What does that mean if you're buff?
Buff is like when you work out and you're quite lean, you've got like muscle tone and things like that, right? Would you use it in the same way?
We would, yeah. If you say someone's buff, it's a slang word to say someone's really strong. So yeah, you put it perfectly. So someone who's a sexy beast is someone who's extremely sexy, has a great body. And this is funny because it's just like such a confident phrase, right, that this person's using. So do you want to say it again, the whole thing?
They say you are what you eat. That's funny. I don't remember eating a sexy beast this morning.
And I think this is a great way to lead into today's main topic, because we are also what we tell ourselves, right? So if you believe that you're a failure, or you believe that maybe you're not so attractive, or you believe that you'll never be able to get a great job, or you'll never be able to get a great girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever is the thing, then you kind of manifest what you believe, right? But if on the other hand, if it's kind of like this phrase, if you tell yourself, you know, that you're sexy and stuff, then you're going to feel much more confident. And so, you know, that might help you to attract someone, because they're going to actually see that confidence, and people tend to be attracted to confidence. And it's the same thing with anything, right? If you go into a job interview with the thoughts in your head, like, oh, I'm never going to get this job, then you probably won't get it. It's very unlikely because the person will see, you know, that you're anxious. They'll see that you don't really believe in yourself. And so it's off-putting. They won't find that very appealing as a candidate for the job. But if you go in and you're really confident about your abilities, then they will see that and it'd be much more likely that you'll be someone that they want to work with. So I think that is a perfect way for us to start talking about some tricks to become more confident in your English speaking and anything else you want to do in life. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Aw, yeah. All right, Andrea, so what is the first tip we have for people?
Okay, so don't be alarmed because you might be a bit surprised by the first one and it might seem a bit crazy, but it really works. And so the trick is to talk to yourself.
Now, does that mean you're supposed to talk to yourself in your head or actually out loud?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. So you should talk to yourself out loud because talking to yourself can actually make you smarter, improve your memory, help you focus, and even increase athletic performance. So there have been studies on this, and there's a documentary as well called The Human Brain, which claims that we say between 300 to 1,000 words to ourselves per minute. So whether you're saying it out loud or not, like we're always talking to ourselves. We always have that voice in our head, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that idea that maybe, so going back to the idea, if you're going to go in for a job interview, that maybe you want to practice in front of the mirror, for example, beforehand, and actually saying out loud what you're planning on saying, so you can kind of like hear yourself saying it. You can look at yourself, you can look at your kind of posture and everything. And doing that, you're just going to feel much more confident going into the job interview because you'll already have practiced. You'll have seen what you look like and you can kind of imagine it. And that's going to just help you to perform better in the actual situation.
Yeah, that's really important, especially when you're feeling nervous. It can really help you to build that confidence and to feel prepared for what you're about to do. But then you can also talk to yourself internally because we do this naturally anyway. And the most important is to be positive because the way that you talk to yourself influences your response to what you're doing. So if you're saying to yourself, I know what to do, or I can do this, you know, like positive affirmations, then you, rather than seeing something as a problem, you're going to see it more as a challenge and something that you can do, though. It's a challenge, but you can do it. So it's so important to have that positive mindset.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And so it's part of this, I think, is just becoming aware of your, what we call self-talk, how you talk to yourself in your head. So just starting to be more aware of that and catch yourself, you know, when you're saying, oh, I can't do this, or I'll never be successful, or whatever the case is, and try to catch those kind of things and flip it, you know, and start changing that into actually saying things that are constructive and positive. I think that leads into the next tip, right?
Yeah. So The next tip is to push through self-limiting beliefs. So these kind of go hand in hand, you know, because if you think of when we're children, or you just think of any child, like they think they can conquer the world. They're so confident and they just want to explore and discover the world. But then somewhere between childhood and adulthood, we lose that. Like our enthusiasm declines, our big dreams sometimes get squashed. And maybe that's because of influences from parents or teachers and the adults around us. It's just such a shame, because as we grow, we're told to, you know, dream big and do all of these things. And then at some point, you kind of lose that positivity and you lose that belief that you can do anything.
Right. I think this is, I was listening to a podcast. I was trying to think of her name, but I can't remember. But she was a female firefighter and she's done a lot of really amazing things. She wrote a book even on the topic. But this is especially true for girls, because when we're growing up with little kids, usually with like little boys, parents will be more like, they won't use the language as much, saying like, don't do that, or you can't do that. As far as like, maybe they're playing, they want to climb a tree and stuff. And like for a little boy, generally parents will feel more comfortable with it. And then they tend to, I guess, probably come societally, we tend to believe that girls, you know, are more delicate or something, even though it's not really true. And so she like wrote this whole book about this, you know, because her parents were the opposite, and they let her do all these adventurous things when she was a child and stuff. And it just led to her being, you know, someone who wasn't afraid of almost any challenge. She gave the example actually of, you can't actually legally do this, but like climbing to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, which is really terrifying because you have to walk along those, people can imagine in their head, kind of like those cords that lead up to the top of it, and they're not very thick, and you're up very, very high above the ocean. So obviously if you make any mistake, it could be fatal. Mm-hmm. But I think that we need to be also, any parents listening, just being very aware of like, what are you telling your children? Are you giving them like limited beliefs and stuff, which can obviously carry into their adulthood and being afraid of things and feeling like they can't do things? Or are you being really positive and letting them challenge themselves and letting them kind of learn things for themselves instead of putting those barriers around them?
It's true, actually. And you've just reminded me as well. I've read many things as well recently about how, you know, when you see a young boy, you might say, he does something and you say, oh, you're so clever, or oh, you're so brave, oh, you're so strong. And then usually like little girls get compliments based on like what they're wearing, or oh, your dress is so pretty, or oh, your hair looks so nice today, and things like that. And I think it's something that people are being a lot more conscious of nowadays, because, you know, it's not just about the way you look. Girls and women are doing so many great things in the world now, and you can compliment them on being brave or being successful in their job, or, you know, so many other things rather than just their appearance.
Right. And there's the whole Carol Dweck, the growth mindset, which we've done some podcasts on. We've done some different lessons on this. But one of the big things she talks about as well, which it's important for us as adults, for the self-talk that you have, and it's very important for talking to children, for talking to students, is not saying, oh, you're so smart, like you did a great job on this, you're so smart, you're so intelligent, but rather using language that's related to the effort that they gave. So saying something like, oh, you did really well on this, so it must mean that you worked really hard. Or maybe if they didn't, maybe they didn't do perfectly on it, you might just say, well, next time you just need to work a little bit harder. It's no big deal. Because that way you're kind of, they're building this growth mindset of when there's something challenging, when there's something that they can't do right away, that it means that they need more effort, they need to work harder at it. Whereas if you're just telling them, oh, you did a great job on this because you're so smart, then when something isn't easy for them or they're not able to do something, they're going to think like, oh, well, it's not me, it's just like, you know, this thing, it's not important. And they're going to give up much more easily because it doesn't align with what they believe about themselves, what they've been told all their lives. So I think, again, kind of being aware of our own self-talk and learning more about these kind of different phrases, like, are you giving yourself self-talk that is congruent with having a growth mindset? Or are you giving yourself self-talk that's congruent with having a fixed mindset?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to learn more about growth mindset, we made a lesson on this topic on the Real Life English YouTube channel. So you can really delve into the topic a lot more.
What does that mean to delve into?
So to delve into something is to go deeper into it and to learn more about it.
Right. And so we'll link that in the show notes, which you can find by clicking the link in the description or over on reallifeglobal.com.
So really, if you want to push through your self-limiting beliefs, it's important for you to find your limits by exposing yourself to different situations and pushing through those uncomfortable situations. You know, we talk a lot about coming outside of your comfort zone because that's where growth happens. And you'll be amazed what you can accomplish once you take that step and you start pushing through those uncomfortable situations and you start to build your confidence.
Totally. So I think that leads really well into the next point, which is to help you to overcome your negativity bias, right? So what is that one?
Yeah. So, you know, if you think about human evolution, humans learn to get lunch or to be lunch. By that, I mean, you know, in order to survive, they had to find their lunch, they had to find their food, and they also had to be very wary of what was around them because they could be attacked and they could end up being someone else's lunch. So it's natural for us to have these negative thoughts because they've kept us safe from danger for thousands of years. But we've evolved so much since then, so our thinking has to evolve as well. And we have to recognize that some things maybe are a threat to our survival, but often they're not. Because this is what happens is we're hardwired to pay attention to all the things that are wrong. So straight away, you're always going to focus on the negative things, and you kind of have to train or retrain your brain to have these more positive thoughts.
You could like ask yourself, for example, in those kind of situations, what's the worst that can happen? Which is it's a really great way to kind of reframe, you know, the thinking around that, because usually in the cases, kind of like Andrea's saying, it's not really an actual threat of survival. It's just maybe something that was ingrained in you from when you were a kid, like your parents telling you not to climb the tree, or that you needed to be telling you to be careful in some situation, or saying, telling you can't do something. And so actually reflecting on that a little bit and being like, okay, what's the worst that's actually going to happen in this situation? Listening to another podcast with Brené Brown, I really liked an exercise that she said she uses, is to ask herself, what will she think of this? It could be like, you know, maybe something bad has happened to you, or you're embarrassed or whatever, or you're in an uncomfortable situation. And so if she asks herself, you know, what will be the consequence of this in 5 minutes, in 5 weeks, in 5 months, and in 5 years? And usually when you think about that, you might think, okay, like in 5 minutes, 5 hours, then, you know, I'll be feeling embarrassed, or maybe I'll be nervous based on this thing. But in 5 weeks, I probably will have forgotten about it. Or, you know, in 5 years, it won't be anything. And maybe it's something more positive that you're like, okay, if I actually take this risk, I actually go over to that American tourist or British tourist that I hear speaking over there, and I introduce myself so that I can practice my English. And you think like, okay, in 5 minutes, I'm probably going to be feeling really nervous and really anxious and stuff. But in 5 hours, I'm going to be just so happy that I went and did it. And I actually got the opportunity to speak English. I overcame my fear.
It's totally true. Like, I used to do that sometimes as well. Like, I remember at first when I had to give presentations in front of all the parents at schools, and I would be so nervous that day. Obviously, I would really prepare so that I wasn't like scared, or, you know, I wasn't underprepared or anything. But then I would think to myself, oh, just think, at 6 o'clock, you will have done the presentation, you'll be done, you'll be on your way home, you can have a nice takeaway and treat yourself or something, you know, and it's not going to be so bad. But also, it's going to be a period of growth for you because you're going to be doing something that makes you quite nervous. So it's also important to recognize that if you have some bad feelings or some negative emotions, like, don't worry about that. It's natural. It's human nature, because thousands of years ago, you know, there was probably more life-threatening things. So there's a trigger in us that automatically thinks, oh no, this is going to happen and then I'm going to die. But obviously now it's not the case. So you just have to go through that process to remind yourself, okay, if this happens, then that will happen. And like you said, you know, in 5 weeks, I won't feel so bad. And, you know, and I'm not going to die. I can survive this. I can get through this. It's not threatening my life.
Yeah. And we talked a lot about this with Emma from English in the interview I had with her, because she was talking about her being someone who is not a big risk taker, but nowadays she has to speak on stage. Obviously, she also, like us, she creates videos and everything. And so she talked a lot about what's helped her in those situations where she's going to have to get up on stage and dealing with stage fright and everything, which is one of the, like Andrea said, one of the most natural human fears. Like, no, I think there's no one out there who feels really comfortable, you know, from day one going out on stage and speaking in front of a crowd of people. And I think it's, I kind of say like that's the number one fear, even above, you know, above dying, above sharks, above anything else, is people are most scared of public speaking.
Yeah, probably. Even people that love public speaking, they'll still get a bit nervous, because I think if you care about something and you want to do a good job in it, you're always going to have butterflies in your stomach or get a bit nervous.
Right. And you can always lean into that. I mean, and just knowing that it's human nature. There's nothing wrong with you. It's normal. Everyone experiences this. Even like Andrea says, even the most experienced people probably always feel a little bit of nervousness before they go out on stage. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
And that's actually a really good place to lead into the next trick to become confident, actually.
Great. So do you want to share that one?
Yeah. So this is all about the I'm excited technique. So you need to reframe your mindset again. So rather than saying I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I'm scared, or I can't do this, you can change to I'm excited. So you keep telling yourself I'm excited, and you change your nervousness into excitement for what you are about to do.
Right. I think I first heard Mel Robbins, who's a motivational speaker, talking about this. And she explained that actually, like, the symptoms from nervousness and excitement are very, very similar, or even the same. That, like, you know, usually, like, your palms might get sweaty, you might be like a little bit shaky or jittery or something. And so that's why it works so well. If you, instead of telling yourself I'm nervous, you can tell yourself I'm excited, and it completely reframes that physical response to be towards the more positive emotion in that case, which would be excitement over anxiety or nervousness. So this can be something really great for you to try to kind of pump yourself up before you have some performance, some moment where you're going to go over to that tourist and start speaking English to them, for example, something that's like really scary or out of your comfort zone like that. And in other situations in your life as well, I think like a lot of athletes use this, for example, before they're about to have some big competition, right?
Yeah. And you mentioned something there. What does it mean to pump yourself up?
Yeah. So that's kind of like the joke that we shared before, for example, is like, you know, telling yourself you're a sexy beast. It's like having that really positive self-talk to get yourself excited for something, instead of having that limiting belief that might make you kind of like shut down and freeze up.
Yeah. And you can really imagine, like, especially athletes as well, doing this before a really important game or like before the Olympics. You can see them sometimes there as well, actually, you know, like scrunching up their fists and like pumping their chest or something, you know, something that makes them feel good to pump themselves up for it, to get them ready and excited for what they're about to do.
There's isn't it like the New Zealand rugby team or something that's really famous for doing, is it called like the haka, or they have like a dance that they do that's like a war dance, right? And it's to intimidate the other team and pump themselves up.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That comes, like, that's part of their origin, and they continue to do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily need to go that far to doing like some sort of war roar cry or something like that, but I do find it useful, you know, if you can be like alone or something, something that Tony Robbins does. I actually got to see him once in person. One of the things he has you do to like pump yourself up is just like throwing your fist in the air a bunch of time and just saying yes, yes, yes over and over again for 1 minute or for like 2 minutes. And when you do this, it's just like your brain, it's like almost a reprogramming, and you get really excited about whatever you're about to do. So obviously you don't want to do this in a public place, but if you're, you know, have somewhere where you can be alone, even like going to the bathroom and closing yourself up in the stall and doing this can be a really great way to reframe yourself, reframe that nervousness into excitement. And something very similar that you can do is visualization exercises. So actually closing your eyes and imagining yourself in whatever would be success in the situation that you're scared about, that you're not so confident about. So again, if it's like you're just thinking about going and walking over to this tourist so you can practice your English, then maybe you could first like close your eyes just for a second and imagine like that you're talking to that person and they're understanding you really well, and you've been really helpful to them because maybe they couldn't find something, and or you gave them a recommendation about a great restaurant or anything like this, and just imagining that outcome instead of, you know, getting bogged down by thinking of everything that could go wrong.
Definitely.
So that leads us into, we have two more. We kind of already mentioned the next one, but what is it?
So to do things outside your comfort zone as often as possible.
Yeah. So I think you can actually plan this out and really challenge yourself. You've probably heard us say on this podcast before that life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And I think really we could even say that English fluency happens at the end of your comfort zone, because you can never become fluent in English if you don't actually leave your comfort zone to start having those awkward conversations. They make you feel a little bit like a baby again, you know, with your first language. You're going to make mistakes. It's definitely not going to go perfectly the first time, no matter how much you study. So being willing to actually step outside your comfort zone is an extremely important part of the process. But I think one of the things you can do in preparation, or just to become a more confident person in general, is by putting yourself in situations where you're forcing yourself to leave your comfort zone and do things that aren't so comfortable for you, that you're not so used to.
Yeah, because if you imagine, like, maybe in a life-threatening situation, you're going to be forced into doing something that scares you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to grow, to come out of your comfort zone. And sometimes, although it might seem difficult, you just have to push yourself out there. And I guess going back to visualization as well can help, because maybe you can visualize what will happen if you actually step outside your comfort zone. And that might give you a little push as well, you know, to really go for it.
Yeah. And what we were talking about before, asking yourself, what's the worst that can happen? Thinking about, what will this be like in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 weeks? And you know, generally it's going to be all positive in these situations. We always feel like so much relief and so great after we've actually put ourselves out there, even if it didn't go perfectly. And I think you can, as I was saying, look for challenges, look for opportunities to do this. You could actually sign up maybe to do something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Like maybe for you, it could be a dance class, or it could be a cooking class. Maybe you've never cooked. Or we actually have Agnieszka on our team from Poland, and she did this. She signed up for Toastmasters, where you have to give speeches. You have to like memorize and give really professional speeches. And her English has gotten extremely confident since she did this. So depending on who you are, you can find something that is interesting for you and that's going to make you really like stretch yourself, and that's going to help you a lot. Or you could even just give yourself like a small challenge, like maybe it's talking to a tourist, or one that I've heard that I've never actually done because it does make my palms sweat and I probably should try it, but you could actually try negotiating at Starbucks, going to Starbucks and you know, when they tell you the price of coffee, negotiating the price, which is something like absurd to do because, you know, it's a set price at Starbucks, but it's like a way to help you to really challenge your confidence by putting you in a really uncomfortable situation.
Wow, nice. That actually really leads so well again into our final trick, which is to face your fears.
Most definitely. So if you've already been doing some of these little things to get outside your comfort zone, then that's definitely going to help you to face your fears.
Yeah. So you just need to remember that when you don't feel in control, you don't think clearly because your emotional brain is taking over your body and, you know, doing all the thinking for you, telling you all these negative things or the limiting beliefs and just putting that fear in you so that you don't take that step out of your comfort zone. So you have to remember that this emotional brain can often be really irrational. And you then have to take a moment. You can sit with that fear, think about it for a while, to then start to change into your more rational brain again, you know?
Right. And something we've talked about a lot on this podcast and in videos, which we can link in the show notes, is meditation. This is extremely helpful for these kind of things because it can help you to start having more awareness about your emotions. So when those emotions do start to take control, you can see them. You're not actually overtaken by them. And this can help you to react in a better way because you're not being controlled by them. And this is the same for nervousness, for fear and everything. And obviously you're not just going to meditate once and then be this superhuman person. Can't make you any promise like that. But if you do actually make a practice of that, it can help you just to be someone who's not so reactive when things don't go as planned, when there's a situation that makes you feel uncomfortable, when you feel nervous, that you can actually be aware of those, you can see them, and you can react how you want to. You can react maybe in these situations in a way that's more confident because you're not actually being controlled by them.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what you're doing as well, I mean, it's fantastic if you're trying to build your confidence when you're learning English, but generally, you know, you should never act when you're feeling emotional. It's never a good idea. So you always, you know, whether you get angry or sad or confused, you need to sit with it for a while, figure things out, make sure you come out of that emotional brain so that then you can rationally think about what you're going to do and take action.
Yeah. Something I find really helpful if I'm in that kind of situation is to actually like journal about it, write about it, so it's out of my head. And this also allows me to first kind of reflect on it a little bit before I take action. And usually the action that I take then ends up being better because it's not the one that's spurred on by the emotional part of my brain, but it's something actually that I've thought more about and I've been able to logically come to a better solution for whatever I'm facing.
Yeah, that's really good advice as well.
We said six tips, but I think there's been a lot of different things that you can try here. I would challenge you, dear listener, to choose at least one thing. It can be something really small. Maybe it can just be starting a conversation with a person in English. You could use our app for this. You can press a button and connect to someone and have a 4-minute conversation. If you've never had a conversation before, that's a great place to start. But if you're not there yet, then maybe it can be something else really small, like having a 5-minute conversation with yourself or a 1-minute conversation with yourself in the mirror in English, or recording yourself and listening to it and trying to catch your mistakes. Just doing one thing that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable so that you can already start on this process of building your confidence a little bit.
Yeah, you can take baby steps if you're not quite there yet, and then eventually you will. You have to tell yourself, I will get there.
Exactly. And I think that's a great thing, is when you make small steps every single day, you kind of make a habit out of this, then, you know, in weeks and months, you're going to feel maybe like this completely different person that's capable of so much more than you could right now. And if you want to learn more about how to build your confidence, we have another tip exclusively over on our Instagram at reallife.english. So we hope to see you over there. Continue building our confidence and courage together. So thanks so much for joining us this week on the Real Life English Podcast, and we'll see you again soon. 1, 2, 3.
Aw, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.